And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful testimony in song. Well, church, it has been a delight for us to make our way here. We've been looking forward to fellowshipping with y'all this week. But Jerry, you and your sweet bride have been so kind to us. Thank you for the invitation again to come and celebrate with you and your church family. We'll always enjoy being with Steve and his family as well. And it's just a delight to be able to serve the King. Amen?
Amen.
And this day that we live in, I want to tell you, we in a situation all the way around us, but if anybody has an answer, it ought to be the people of God. Amen?
Right.
Amen. So won't you take your copy of your revelation that you brought today and turn to the book of Jeremiah, the Older Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. I think what we'll do this week is I've been sensing where God would lead us to go. I want to really look at several particular things, and one is what every generation needs, and what this generation, our generation, even the generations to come, what we really need is to have a generation of men and women who understand their role in shaping the generation that we are around, but also a generation that is to come. That we have to take on that responsibility, and we see that God has always worked these things out in His people's life as they've been walking with Him, that He prepares them to serve the generation they live in, but also that it would have an influence on the generation that is yet born, the generation to come. And one way, several ways, actually, that we do this, that we shape our children, shape those around us, and shape the generation to come, is how they're always watching. Everybody's watching. Are you with me? Our grandchildren and children and those around us, those that are connected with us, those that we work with, people are watching. And how we treat people, how we deal with problems, how we handle pride, are three distinct ways how we shape the next generation. How we treat people, how we deal with problems, and how we handle pride in our own life. And I pray this week we will deal with those three specific things, and as God will lead us. I'm in no hurry. Y'all in any hurry?
No, sir.
So we may walk through this. That means if I start a message and we don't finish this morning, we'll get back on it tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeremiah chapter number 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 4. For the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth. But the Lord said to him, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth, and he said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today. And we want to bend our knee before you and just praise you and give you glory and thanks. We come in your presence because of Jesus. We come before you because of grace. We come because of the blood of the Lamb. And you've invited us to seek you, to love you, follow you, honor you. And I pray today that you would speak to your church, to your people, that you would speak to me, that you would help me declare what you placed within my heart, that you would be honored and glorified, and we as a congregation will see what is needed in our day, the day we live in right now, and that we would live and die and breathe our next breath for you. We're going to give you the praise and the glory and ask for your strength and help. In Jesus' name, amen. What every generation needs, what we need today. You know, as I think about that, there's several things I want to bring out. And number one, this generation needs a champion, some champions that have a cause upon their life. They need some champions who have a cause. And as I think about that, I'm reminded of the fact that where we are right now, you just take the condition our country is in and the political standpoint with the what we have that is offered to us. We need some champions to raise up. Amen. Take and turn to the Old Testament book of Judges. I want to show you something if I can. Judges chapter number 9. We'll probably be back in Jeremiah this morning and this evening, so just bear with me. But Judges chapter number 9. We need some champions with a cause. Now watch what happens here. This is Gideon's son in chapter number 9. I'm going to start reading about verse number 7. And this reminds me of where we are currently and what we need to see happen and what we need to begin to pray for and what is a revelation of exactly where we are. Judges chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 7, it says, "Now when they told Jotham, he went and he stood on top of Mount Gerizim. And he lifted up his voice and he cried and he said to them, 'Listen to me, you men of Shechem,'" or "Listen to me, you men and women of America, that God may listen to you." This is what he's going to tell them, a story, a parable. He says, "The trees went forth to anoint a king over them. And the trees responded and said to the olive tree, 'Won't you reign over us?' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I cease giving my oil, which with they honor God and men, and go and sway or lead or rule over the trees?' So they left him and they went to the fig tree." And they said in verse 10, "Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and you reign over us.' But the fig tree responded and said, 'Should I stop? Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go and rule or sway over the trees?' They left him and they went to the vine and said, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go and sway over the trees?'" So this is what they do. They leave them, and then they go to the bramble bush, the bramble tree. "Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'In truth, you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if you don't, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon.'" Now, what does all that mean? Well, let me share with you an older... Go back to the very beginning. Y'all remember when Adam and Eve was in the garden and they allowed the enemy to mislead them and deceive them, and they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the scripture says that in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. And death fell upon humanity from that point, and every one of us from that point on, minus Jesus, inherited that sinful nature that came from both Adam and Eve there in the garden. But God told them when they were there that out of the ground there were some things that were going to grow out of the ground that was going to remind them of their fall, that was going to remind them of their sin. What did he say would come out of the ground? Thorns and what?
Thistles.
So we're talking about reminders of a curse. That's what happened. God said, "Cursed is the ground for what? Your sake." Why did he say, "Cursed is the ground for your sake"? It was for their sake, or for our sake, to remind us that we are fallen. To remind us that we need mercy. To remind us that we stand in need of grace. To remind us to cry out for help from the Lord. So every time you come across a thistle, every time you see a thorn, every time you see anything that is not fruit-bearing, that is good for us and edible and a blessing to us, It's a reminder that we need Jesus. Amen? That's what it reminds us. So here we have that he says also before the fall, remember what he also gave them? He said every seed is going to produce likewise. If you sow an apple seed, guess what you're going to get? An apple. If you sow grapes, what are you going to get? Grapes. These are fruit-bearing blessings. So what do we have in this picture? In this picture, the vine, the fig tree, and the olive tree all represent blessings from God, or good, righteous things from the Lord. Blessings from God. The trees went out and said, can you help us to the blessings, to the righteous, to the good people that God had done a work in, that his favor was upon? Every one of them said, I'm not willing to make that sacrifice. I like what's going on in my life. I like what my purpose is. I like what I'm doing. I'm not going to pay the cost to rule and lead and take care of other people. I'm just going to do my thing. They went from one to the next, and they all declined. And what is the picture? What is the bramble? The bramble is a thorny bush. The bramble is a curse. So this reminds us, Brother Steve, that when righteous, good men won't stand, ungodly men will. And this is where we are right now. This is all we have offered to us in our country, is the bramble bush. Why is that? Because there hadn't been champions with a cause who showed up. Who's willing to pay? Leadership cost, amen. Right. If you are going to do what y'all have plans to do, if y'all are going to continue to expand like y'all are and about to build a new building to reach new people and reach this community, it's going to take sacrifice from every one of you, amen. Right. Amen. And it's going to take a cost from everybody, but it's a cost worth it. Why? Because if champions for a cause won't stand, if good, solid, righteous men and women who have the favor of God upon their life won't stand, I want to tell you, the ungodly will. Amen. And that applies not only within this community, within this church, it applies within your home. That is, if you don't take a stand, the ungodly will take a stand in your home, and they'll mislead and misuse and abuse and take away your sons and your daughters. We're seeing it every day, aren't we? Everywhere we turn, everywhere we go, the ungodly says, I'll lead, and if you're not willing to follow me, I'll lash out on you. I will consume you. If you're not going to take a hold of my ways, I'm going to persecute you and I'm going to deal with you. But the righteous are just sitting back and watching it all happen. Now, we'll complain about it, but we won't do anything about it. Amen.
That's right.
And what God is calling us, what God is calling New Mount Pelier, what he's calling the Holdens and the Carvers, what he's calling us to do is to stand up and be the champion that he's called us to be. You know what the scripture says, that we are in Christ Jesus? We are more than conquerors. You see, more than conquerors continue to conquer. They continue to overcome. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. And when we live and walk by faith, what in the world could ever be against us? Amen? Nothing can be against us. Is there any odds that are too strong or too much or too large or too big for the Lord to do a work? Amen? Not one thing. And what he's calling you and me to be is champions that have a cause upon our life. To stand up in this day. To not just stand up when things are good. We're not in a good place. We're in a bad place right now. I mean, there's a lot at stake right here. Now, it's not the end of everything. I want to tell you, we got a lot of hope that's lying before us. And we can cling to the Lord and we can do what he's called us to do. But it's going to start today. Amen. We can't just throw in the towel and we can't just quit. We got too much at stake here. I've got children. I've got three girls. They're all grown. I got four grandbabies. And I've got to take upon that responsibility. I believe I've raised my daughters in a way that they should fly straight, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they will. So therefore, honey and I, my pretty bride here, and I have to take on the responsibility to be praying for them and to lead them and to love on them and pray for God to surround people around them that would lift them up and encourage them and point them in the right direction, that they too will be champions for the cause of Christ. Amen? Look in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, about verse number 18. Let's make our way back. I would remember that passage in Judges if I was y'all.
Just remember that.
When godly men will not stand, those favored and blessed of God, the curse, the ungodly will. Psalm 71. Look in verse number 18. Well, let's just start in verse number 17. King David is asking God to do something in him that he needs, not just for right now, but for the days to come. Here's a champion, one who is after God's own heart. He says in verse 17 of Psalm 71, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to the generation, to this generation, and your power to everyone who is to come. What a cause, amen. What a cause. A champion with a cause, number one, wants to know the Lord. Not only does he want to know him, but he wants to make him known, amen. Right. How many of y'all want to make Jesus known?
Amen.
How many of y'all want to know him? When I say know him, know him personally, intimately, in a way that he consumes your life, that you be spent for his glory, so that you have this cause upon your heart as well, that this generation will know of your strength, and the generation to come will know of your power. Do not forsake me. Do not let me go to the grave, O God, without declaring your praise to the generation that is to come. That's a good cause. Amen. And I want to be a champion in that cause. I want to do it in such a way that not only my children and grandchildren, but other children and grandchildren hear of God's strength and his praise from my life. I want to be the ones that God is using. The mission of the church is fairly simple. What are the three things we as the church ought to be doing? This is what we ought to be doing right now. Number one, the church should be reaching people for Jesus. Y'all say that with me. We should be reaching people for Jesus. The second thing we ought to be doing is that we ought to be teaching people about Jesus. Y'all say that with me. We ought to be teaching people about Jesus. And the third thing is that we ought to be equipping people to serve Jesus. Say it with me. We ought to be equipping people to serve Jesus. That's the simplicity of the mission of the church. Doesn't get any simpler that, but that's what he's called us to do. To reach people for him, to teach people about him, and to equip people to serve him. And therefore, we take that role on that I'm going to teach people about Jesus. I'm going to reach them for him. And when I teach them, that's going to help equip them to serve him. Amen. Don't we need more servants in this day?
Amen.
But they're not going to serve him if they hadn't been taught about it. That's right. And that's a big problem with our churches today. They just hadn't been taught.
Right.
And the reason they hadn't been taught is because being taught by Jesus is a sacrifice.
Yes.
Because when you're taught by Jesus, you got to take accountability. Amen.
Right.
And you become responsible. And when you take responsibility and accountability as being taught by Jesus, I have to take on some leadership. And when I take on leadership, that means I also equip people around me to serve Jesus in this day. And I want to tell you, every single blood-bought, born-again believer has that calling upon their life to reach people, to teach people, and equip people to serve the King. Amen.
Amen.
Look in Psalm 78. 78 in the first few verses. This is the sons of Asaph. They say in verse number 4, let's just start there. They take on this responsibility as leaders, this accountability to equip another generation. And they say in verse number 4, we will not hide them. That is the things that the Father has declared to our fathers, that's been passed on to us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and the wonderful works that he has done. Here's a group of men who sing in a song and stood up and said, look, whether our fathers are going to do it, whether the fathers in this community take on the role to lead, you as a congregation have to take on that responsibility. That this generation is not going to go down without hearing the praises and the majesty and the wonder and the strength and the glory of the Lord of glory and grace. They will not go away from here without hearing it from this church right here. Their daddies and their mamas may not tell them, but we're going to tell them. And we're going to love them. And we're going to lead them. They may not follow us, but we're going to lovingly lead them in a way that they will know of the grace and the glory of God. Amen. That's being a champion with a call. Something that you have to take on that responsibility. Because I want to tell you, there's enough ungodly out there. There's enough of those who are still under the curse and condemned out there doing what we ought to be doing. But we need to go start snatching some of them from the pits of hell. Amen.
Right.
And start bringing them in and be willing. That means you're going to have to make a sacrifice. Because some of these kids, they don't know how to act in church. Are you with me? They don't know what to do. You think they're going to tear up a few things? They probably will. They think they're going to disrespect a few people? Yes. Do you think they're going to all look like us? They're not all going to be the same color. They're not all going to act like. Some of them going to have runny, snotty noses. Some of them going to have dirty bottoms. But look, because you're going to be a champion for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, which this generation needs, you're willing to pay the sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
I know you're blessed and favored and God is going to work in your life. But look, we've got to share that with another generation. Every generation needs a champion for the cause. If we won't do it, the ungodly will.
Right.
It's time to stand. Amen. It's time to stand. I'm pleading with you, church, to join us in this day. Some of you follow us, and we get to follow y'all in the old social media world. How many of y'all on social media? Raise your hand. How many of y'all Instagram, Facebook, and all that? I want to encourage you grandparents and you daddies out there, you mamas. Y'all may not be tech savvy. Who are you not tech savvy? Raise both hands. I mean, you don't know how to operate those machines. I'm with you. I don't know much either. But I want to encourage you. These phones that we have or these computers we have, they're just extensions of who we are. If we misuse and abuse life, we'll misuse and abuse them.
That's right.
But if we want to be a tool that God can use in this day, we need to know a little bit about these things. We need to know what our grandchildren are doing and what our children are doing. And we need to be able to be involved in. So I need to know what the word Facebook means. And I need to know what Instagram means. Because I want to tell you, they know what it means.
Yeah.
And they own that. They own things like Snapchat. And they own things like that. And you need to be on there with them. Why? So you can watch what they're doing. You need to watch who's influencing them. You need to watch what they're paying attention to, what they're sharing. Because what they're doing and what they're sharing is going to be a reflection of who they are. And it's going to tell you a lot about them. It's going to tell you a lot about what they're not doing and what they could be doing. So it's another way for you to influence them, to inspire them, to bless them. I see your pastor's wife, she's on there, and she blesses me all the time. Some of you others that are on there, y'all bless me with what you're doing, and I encourage you to do that. That's just another tool to use in this day to have an effect on these, your children and a generation. I would like to be, in a good sense, in a good note, I'd like to have influence in homes all around the world.
Amen.
At dinner tables that people can sit down and say, man, did you see what
Honey Holden shared, and what a blessing it was. Did you see what Brother Nick Holden shares, or what Miss Priscilla King shared, or what Becky shared, or what these boys shared? And it blessed me, it encouraged me, and have influence in the home. That's what the sons of Asaph were saying. If their fathers won't do it, don't let us go to the grave until we share it with them. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where we got to take on that role, to be champions. Now, your kids and grandkids, they may not want you on there with them. That's okay. Who's daddy and who's grandpa and who's grandma and grandma? You are, amen? And if you are, that means you're in leadership, right? And you don't want to sit passively by the side while other people take your place in another aspect of the world. Get involved. Get busy. Keep stretching and building your buildings. But keep equipping people to serve Jesus. Amen? Amen. Tonight we'll come back and we're going to continue on with Jeremiah. And we're going to look at being a missionary, being a missionary with a message. And then we're going to take it a step further and keep on working at it. Why? Because we shaping a generation by how we treat people, how we deal with problems in our life, and how we handle pride in our own day-to-day life. They're watching, amen? Mm-hmm. And it's going to help shape them for God's glory. Father, we thank you. We ask that you would use this today, that your word has spoken. We stand in need as a nation, as a people, as a congregation. Lord, we're asking you to begin in this place to raise up men and women who understand they've been blessed and favored by you. And yes, leadership comes at a cost. It's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice worthy of your praise and honor. I pray that you would be with our leaders and our nation. You teach us to lift up holy hands without any animosity in our heart, without any anxiety, because we still trust that you're the one who brings up kings and brings them down. So we entrust ourselves to you and your sovereign power. You reign and rule, and you knew us before you ever formed us. You've set us apart. You've given us a calling upon our life. And I pray that you help us with the authority that we have to go in your name and do the work that you've called us to do. Help us love people. Help us lead them. In Jesus' name.